On September 8, 1994, U.S. Air Flight 427 took off from Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The plane, a Boeing 737, was headed for Pittsburgh on a beautiful and clear evening. As pilots prepared to land, the plane hit some light turbulence. Then, suddenly, it rolled to the left and began to corkscrew to the ground. The plane crashed into a hill just short of the Pittsburgh airport. All 132 people on board died. For 5 years, the cause remained a mystery, one of just four unsolved plane crashes in the history of the National Transportation Safety Board. The exhaustive NTSB investigation is the subject of a new book titled The Mystery of Flight 427. Its author, Bill Adair, says investigators were at a loss to explain the rudder's malfunction, but eventually suspicion lit on a special hydraulic valve that controlled the plane's rudder.
They were stumped. They were absolutely stumped. They knew that the rudder moved. Many of the investigators believed there was a malfunction, but they couldn't prove it. Every test they did on this unique rudder valve proved the thing worked the way it was supposed to. And it was not until some dramatic developments in the summer of 1996, in a test that no one thought would yield anything significant, or very few people thought, it wasn't until then that they really had the key evidence they needed that the rudder had indeed malfunctioned.
In fact, they went through a whole series of tests, some of them pretty unusual, to try to get the rudder to do what they thought it had done in the air.
Yes, and it's very reassuring, I think, about the thoroughness of the NTSB to see those. Some of them were truly bizarre. They had a theory they called the fat guy theory, that an overweight passenger had stepped through the floor and landed on the rudder cables. And they actually replicated what would have happened if a 300-pound man had done that. They also, at Boeing's request, spent a lot of time looking into the possibility that the plane had collided with birds. They called in the world's expert on feathers, a 83-year-old woman named Roxy Laybourne, who had basically created the science of feather identification. She did some tests and showed that things that they thought might have been feathers were not, and helped them rule out birds.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the breakthrough came in a decidedly low-tech environment. I mean, you might expect that these tests would be done in, you know, some gleaming laboratory at Boeing's plants out in Seattle, but the breakthrough actually came in a very low-tech way.
It did, and it was something that no one had expected. This was late in the investigation. They were so stumped that Chairman Jim Hall had insisted that they bring in a panel of experts. They called them the greatest minds in hydraulics. And one of the greatest minds had suggested a test called thermal shock, where they would freeze a valve so that it's very cold, similar to the temperature at 30,000 feet, and then pump it with hot hydraulic fluid to see if it would jam. As it was going on, the investigators were getting ready to leave. They didn't think it would yield anything. And they heard this click, hiss of the valve working. And suddenly the frequency of the hissing changed. And they just heard hiss. And the valve had jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And that told them that the valve from this plane was unique. And unlike another valve they had tested, that this one would jam.
So what they did was they found that this valve could jam under certain circumstances, and they created a theory of what happened in Pittsburgh around that. Can you just walk us through what that basic theory was?
You bet. And like so many crashes lately, it involved a chain of events. And if any one of the links in the chain had not happened, the crash would not have happened, but it took all of these things to happen. The plane encountered some wake turbulence from another plane that was about 3 miles ahead of them. That jostled the plane a little bit. The co-pilot got on the controls and tried to level the wings, using first the wheel, which moves the ailerons on the wings, and then the rudder. At any other speed, the plane would have been fine with a rudder jam like what happened, but he happened to be flying at a particularly precarious airspeed when the plane was vulnerable to a sudden malfunction by the rudder. And what happened, they believe, the valve jammed, he pushed on the rudder to go right, but the rudder went left, and he kept pushing on the right pedal, thinking, come on, this thing should go to the right, and instead the rudder kept turning left, and he very quickly lost control of the airplane. It was compounded because he pulled back on the stick once he saw the ground looming in front of him, and that helped to stall the airplane and make him lose control.
Boeing made modifications to the 737 after this crash investigation. Is the 737 a safe plane?
Without question, it's a very safe airplane. It took such a rare series of circumstances for this kind of crash. Now they have fixed the rudder system. They have trained pilots in what to do. They have told pilots not to fly at the vulnerable airspeed. And so they have taken many steps to prevent this from happening again.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bill Adair reports for the St. Petersburg Times. His book is The Mystery of Flight 427.